So first, I wanted to wish refuah shlemah to our dear chaver and esteemed Rav Tuker, and God willing, soon he'll be back giving shiurim. Tonight's shiur is dedicated to the success of our chayalim chayalot in harm's way. So we're davening, we're learning for you, and we hope that our Torah learning provides you with the chizuk that you need, together with everybody else that's supporting the effort overseas. And we surely know peace in our time very soon. So with that, I wanted to open up with Parshas Bereishis, which I'm reminded of the Gemara in Chagiga that says, "Ein Dorshin Barayos, B'Shnayim, B'Shlosha, Masa Merkava." We can't talk about Masa Merkava, which is the creation of the world, with three people. Why? Because it could be that one person drifts off to sleep and then he hears something, but he's not sure exactly what was said. And then we don't have much time at all to prepare for Parshas Bereishis, which is a colossal parsha in more ways than one. It's probably the most enigmatic and challenging parsha to learn and to discover. And the day before, we're plaster drunk, right? It's Simchas Torah. We're running around. Our schedule is a little bit off. Our davening takes a little bit longer than usual. And before we know it, it's Erev Shabbos. And then, voila, we are at Parshas Bereishis. So with that, there's a reason for this. And I think that's the reason. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to delve too deeply into the creation of the world. But surely, as we went through the Kriyas HaTorah this morning, there were some things that may have stuck out. And one of the things that stuck out to me was, well, there are many of them, actually, and I'll talk about that some more tomorrow night. But for tonight's share, what struck me and what I was thinking about was the disagreement that Cain and Hevel had with one another that led to the death. I really should precede this by saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a conversation with the Malachim, Nasa Adam. That too is a shiur. I would like to touch upon that quickly before we get into Cain and Hevel. But Nasa Adam means like we will make man. So obviously we know that there are not Shtei Rishrios, there are not two gods. There's only one Melech Malachim Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it mean in the Pasuk when it says Nasa Adam? And my Chavrusa from Bakenroth would say this shiur often. He would explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for us, each of us, to make man. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs our help, needs our guidance, needs our input, but rather Nasa Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already decided that there has to be mankind, right? Because as the Zohar Kodesh brings down, Yistako Baraisa Ubariyama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and then he created the world. And as I love to quote this pasuk, I loves it when I say it, and I'll say it because I know he's going to smile. In Lobrisi Yom V'Layla Chukos Shemayim V'Aretz Losamti, says Yirmiyahu, that if not for the Jewish people learning Torah day and night, then there would be no need for the constellations of heaven and earth to be organized and to work and to function the way they do. And so therefore the world will revert back to chaos and destruction. So now that we have that, there's another discussion, Tov Mishanivra of Shalot Nivra, and Chazal say, Tov mi shelo nivra, but kevan shenivra, is it better that a man should be created or not? And the conclusion is that it's better that man should not be created. Why? Because as the last psukim explained in this week's parasha, ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min urav, because the tendency of individuals is to create havoc and murder, destruction, and to rob and steal and do all of these things that malachim can't do. But since the Torah was written, all of these commandments, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to Malachim, who said to him in Sanhedrin, I think it's Lamed Tes or Lamed Ches, that why are you going to bother, you know, creating a world when you know that everyone is just going to kill and do terrible things to each other, right? There you are, smiling there, are you? So we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu silenced them and said, do you have the commandment of Kavod Avicha V'Imecha? No. Do you have the commandment of Lo Tirtzach, Lo Sigzol, and Lo Sinav, and, you know, Big Day Klayim? Do you have any of these requirements or commandments? No. So therefore, the Torah is not written for you. It's not written for you. It's written for mankind. And I give that shlita over to mankind. In fact, the Gemara, there was interesting Gemaras that I was learning over Yontif of Lo Bashamayim Hi, where you have Rabbi Elezer, who was a very big gadol, and whatever he said went his way, but he was a das yachid, and the das ravim said that, you know, it's yantif versus non-yantif, and he carried something, and then you know, they turn to heaven and they say, what's the ruling? So of course we know it's going to go according to Rabbi Elazar, but because it's Acher Rabim Lahatos, we follow the conclusion of Lo Bashamayim Hi, whatever the Acher Rabim, whatever the majority says, that's what we follow, that's what we do. Okay, so now we know that we have a certain shlita in this world to govern and to make decisions that have impact, not just in this world, but also Klap Yimala, because we know that when we daven, when we say Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba, upstairs in Shemayim, they are saying Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba. When we say Kol Nidre, they say, hold on a second. They're saying Kol Nidre, let's pay attention. There's Yeshiva Shamata, there's Yeshiva Shamala. So there is a connection that we bridge between these two worlds. And that is something very powerful and very unique to the authenticity of Klal Yisrael. That Klal Yisrael is sustaining the world. And we have to understand that what we do, when we learn, we are sustaining the world. There has to be someone learning 24 hours a day, or else the world just can't function. And in fact, when we see chaos and destruction across the world, it could be due to a lack of learning. Therefore, there's a need for us to increase it. And if we don't increase it, at least let's fill in the gaps of time when we know that they're necessary. So this brings us now full circle to the topic at hand. Cain and Hevel are having an argument, and we don't know exactly what it entailed, but Medrash brings down that they argued primarily about three things. Number one, they argued about where will the Beis HaMikdash stand in the future. They argued about whose wife is prettier. We know that it's a very interesting discussion. And the third thing, they argued about division of the world. So we know that there's an element of theocracy. There's an element of physical, you know, who's going to have the world halved, and where will the Beis HaMikdash reside, in which part? So I was thinking that when it comes to what we just went through, beautiful Yontif of Sukkos, followed by, you know, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and then we had Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, and all of these things that we use to congregate together. There's a fascinating story that I'd like to share with you that I think will highlight where I'm trying to land on this particular question. And that is that after October 7th, there was a Dati person who came back to shul, and they were dancing in Akafos, you know, over Simchas Torah. And before Simchas Torah, there was a reason for them to make a Simcha. And so this person said, you know, I had to leave on October 7th to run down toward Gaza, grabbed all the things that I needed in order to protect myself and to try to save other lives. And so I never came back into that circle that I left on Simchas Torah. It was like a void. And now all of a sudden, it took nearly a year for me to come back. And I feel like I'm filling out that circle that I started, that I never completed. And now I'm back and I'm finishing the circle, the Akafos. So there was another story about a Chiloni person who never went into a circle. But when he saw all of his brothers dancing together, he said, these are my brothers. I never recognized or even spend time thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to start my own circle now. And so that's how he began his circle, most likely over Simchas Torah as well. We know that there are a lot of people that came back, and some people are finishing the circle, some people are starting the circle, but what's beautiful about a circle is that as a person goes around and around, and sometimes they drift off to get a little drink or to not. But here's a story about someone finishing a circle, and here's another story about someone starting a circle. And when I was thinking about this disagreement between Cain and Hevel, I was thinking that about this circle, when it came to, you know, where will the Beis HaMikdash stand? Well, it's almost to the point where we don't look at the differences of, you know, different, you know, when a person joins and they do Hoshanas and they go around, we take note of the people that are in shul. And sometimes we take note of the lulav, the esrog, hadas, and aravos. And for the most part, every one of them look pretty similar. Some may look a little different, so maybe they spotlight themselves. But the bottom line is that you're in shul, and you're davening hoshanas, and you're going around in a circle. And that is really the recipe for all of the other arguments. If we can just learn from the prior mistakes of where we begin in Sefer Bereishis, of where Cain turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Ashom Rachi Anochi, am I my brother's keeper? At the end of Bereishis, we learned, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. that yes, you are your brother's keeper. All the shiftaka are together. So whatever we start off with, we somehow are able to begin anew. And it's a new beginning. It's tragic and very difficult to reconcile the fact that, you know, it's more than a year since the Chatufim are still away from us and not home with their families. But it's something that we have used as a means for us to just continue to remain united, and this is something that in a sad way we never want tragic events to be the reason for us to be united, but this is something that we see. We know that the last letter in Bereishis in the Sefer Torah in Devarim is the Lamed Einei Kol Yisrael, and the first begins with the Beis. So that spells out Lev. That means that we should put our heart even more so than we did ever before. That hopefully this is the time. This is the hour. Now that Israel, thank God, has so many successes, Baruch Hashem, all the result, Baruch Hashem, of our tefillah. So I just wanted to close out with one or two ideas that I saw from the Baal Turim, and he says that we start with Bereishis Bara Elokim, the Sof Tevos of Bereishis Bara Elokim. Is a tough, is an aleph, and is MS. A mem. Spell out MS, right? And we know that if we take the next few letters and we say bara lokim s, we get MS. Well, vayivra lokim s, also MS. So as David HaMelech once said, rosh devarcha MS, that we always start with the beginning. And we know that Bereishis is b'chol ram avarech shimcha yisparach tamid. That's what the Vilna Gaon brings down as what Bereishis stands for. But there's another explanation that the Vilna Gaon brings down on Bereishis. And I wanted to close out with this, is that Bereishis is Rosh Tevos for Bitachon, Ratzon, Shtika, Emuna, Shtika, Yira, and Tfila. And I think that if we incorporate these acronyms for Bereishis, The Beis, again, we have to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to continue to be Mamin and all of our efforts. We understand that as a result of that, the Ratzon will come at the right time. And then we have to have that Emuna in order to bring us to that level. And sometimes we have to practice Shtika, which is just to be Sovel and to be quiet and not to necessarily speak too much or too heavily. And we need the Yud and Yira. And of course, we close out with Tfila. So this is how we funny. This is how that's hi Kendall. That's my daughter. So I just wanted to thank everyone for joining us tonight and wishing everyone a good moed. I mean a good moed, you hear me? I don't know. It's been a month and we have Baruch Hashem back to back. So now that we're starting the whole Sefer Torah all over again. We Baruch Hashem have Rosh Chodesh coming up on Shabbos, so we'll get another taste of what Yom Tov looks like. But for the past 5 weeks or so, we've been experiencing a Yom Shekul Shabbos, which is what things will feel like, God willing, when Mashiach comes, and that should hopefully come very soon in our day and time. Have a great week, Shavua Tov, and a good Tvach.